The text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from the book of Daniel in the 12th chapter in these first three verses. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never been since there was a nation all that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall rise like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not fully confident that umpteen is really a word, even though I heard my mother say it more than once growing up. But of this I am sure, that if it is a word, it would be proper to say that on Sunday morning Bible class, we have had our minds engrossed in the book of Daniel for umpteen weeks. Early on in our study, we read of Daniel surviving the lion's den, and we also read of his three friends escaping the fiery furnace. Later, we read about statues of gold and silver and bronze and iron mixed with clay. We read of once great kings crawling around on the ground like common livestock. We also read about images of beasts of all sorts with all number and variety of types of horns. We read about a hand mysteriously appearing and writing on a wall. And after allowing all of those images to be crafted in our mind by our imagination, we then stopped to try to figure out what it all meant, what it was that all of those images were pointing towards. As we came to understand through our study of the book of Daniel, most of those images and visions that Daniel received indeed pointed to things that would occur between the time when Daniel received the visions and the time when Jesus would be born on earth. Indeed, we learned that these things spoke mostly about the empires that reigned during those times. Empires like Babylon, the Medo-Persian Empire, Greece, and Rome. They spoke about kings like Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander the Great, and Antiochus the Fourth. Yes, most of these images gave insight into those times and those rulers. And so last week, when we finally came to the end of our study of the book of Daniel, there was no doubt as to how those words would have been important for the people that lived in those times, in those kingdoms, under those rulers. But we also had to stop and ask a question about ourselves. Why was it that we who lived many, many years after those empires ruled on earth had just spent umpteen weeks reading about what would happen in there? When I asked that question to the group last week, the answers actually were quite quick. They had an answer to that question of why we had spent so much time reading all of these things in the book of Daniel. But before I give you the answers that they came up with, let me ask you a question. Does everyone's word hold the same sway with you? Is a promise from one person as good as a promise from another? If not, how do you know which words to trust and which ones to question? How do you know which promises are likely to come to fulfillment and which are likely never to come into reality? Well, a young boy named Evan could tell you the answer to that question. You see, Evan grew up without his dad being around very much. But on the occasion of his 10th birthday, his dad came over to celebrate. And boy, did they have a grand time that day. You see, Evan loved baseball. And his dad played outside with him for what seemed like hours on end. At the end of their time together, his dad was excited as well. And he looked at Evan and said, "Someday, Evan, I'm going to take you to the World Series." Evan could only imagine what a day like that would be and was excited just by the fact that he would get to spend so much time with his dad. Just before his dad left, he also said this to Evan. He said, "Evan, next week when you have that first game of the season, I'm going to give you a call just to see how you did." Well, sure enough, the next week came, and Evan had that first game of the season. And in fact, he had a great game with an important hit in the 8th inning. He couldn't wait to get home and receive that call from his dad to tell him all about it. You know, that call never came that night. Evan went to school the next day and thought about it all day. And when he got home, he ran and checked the answering machine to see if he had a message from his dad. But he didn't. You know, that call after the ball game simply never came. And that day was a day not only that Evan's joy about that great game he had had and that wonderful hit he had hit sort of were dampened in the joy that they brought, but it was also the day that that dream of going to the World Series one day with Dad began to fade as well. You see, he understood that if his dad couldn't come through on a simple phone call, how would he ever pull off that World Series trip? Even though Evan desperately wished he could trust his dad, he came to understand as he grew that he simply couldn't. He knew his mom's words were much more trustworthy. Oh, her words weren't always as grand, but when she said something, when she promised something, more often than not, it happened. And so on those rare occasions when Mom would promise something in the future, a little bigger, a little grander, Evan knew it was the kind of thing you could put down on the calendar in ink. There was absolutely no reason to doubt if it would later come to be. The promises that God made in the section of Daniel that we read this morning are truly World Series trip kind of stuff. In fact, the things spoken of in those few verses from chapter 12 are the kind of things that could make a trip to the World Series seem downright forgettable. As the words we read today are God's promises about the things that would happen in what the Scriptures call that last day. But you and I confess each week when we talk about things like the last day or the resurrection of the body. So what are the specific things that God speaks about happening in those times, in that last day? What exactly is it that the promises of God speak to us this day? Well, God says first and foremost that there will be a time of tribulation on earth. He says that in those last days there will be a time unlike any other time that has ever been. And you know, if the words of Daniel ended there, it could sure seem like that last day was more like a trip to the morgue than a trip to the World Series. But God's words by no means end in talking about tribulation. No, they say things like this. Michael, the archangel, and his heavenly host will come and fight for God's people in that day in very powerful ways. God's people will be delivered, every last one of them that has their name written in the book of life. Those who are resting in the grave, those now trapped in the dust of the earth, will indeed on that last day be raised. They will be raised to everlasting life. Oh, there will be those who have refused God's grace, who have persecuted the people of God. And on that last day, indeed, they will be raised as well. But they will be raised and then taken away from God's people and His presence forever. And with all the evil gone and only God and His presence left, Daniel says we will shine like the sun and the stars in heaven. For we will be in God's presence and in His glory forever. Yes, these promises that God gave back to Daniel many years ago, but our promises meant for us as well, are indeed very grand. They are things that indeed could even make a kid forget about a trip to the World Series. But you know, it's very easy to promise. Ask Evan's dad. Anybody can promise the moon, but without the rocket to get there, that promise means very little. And that's why it's good that for the last umpteen weeks, we studied not just one or two or three verses of Daniel, but looked at all that God spoke in that book. And it's why it's good today that before we focus in just on the promises given in that short section assigned for our reading, that we would also ponder the larger ideas of what God promised and then delivered through the visions He gave to Daniel. You see, God in the book of Daniel sent many visions. And throughout the visions that He gave to Daniel, He spoke of the future events of kings who had not yet been born and the empires which at the time of the vision did not exist. And in the book of Daniel, these things He spoke about, these future events, He spoke about with great specificity. In fact, probably no place in the whole Bible did God predict or prophesy about things in the future with the level of detail that He does in that book. And here's the great thing about it. Living where we do, not in Daniel's day, but in our day, we could look back as we studied the book of Daniel and see how every last detail of what God said came true. How it occurred with real kings and real empires, down to the very last detail. To put it another way, reading all of that stuff about things that had happened in the past was indeed that assurance of God's promises for the future. All of that stuff that God promised about those kingdoms between Daniel's day and Christ's day were, so to speak, the phone call after the game. They were God's promise. His assurance that just as surely as those things that came true in their day, that the things spoken of the last day would come true as well. You see, when God makes a promise, you can write it down in ink. It will come true. Yes, the promises given in Daniel's day were indeed given for the people who would live in the time of those kings and those kingdoms. But they were also given for you and for me. Especially words like we read today that speak of that last and final day, which is yet to come. Yes, today we gather not only to hear of promises made to God's people in the past, but to receive the promises of God as our own. Today, as we remember that God's word has always come true, we are indeed strengthened in our faith to know that what He has spoken about days that are yet to come will also come true. Truly, you and I have more reason to trust God's word than anyone else that has ever lived in the history of the world. And that's not only true because we have more years of watching God speaking and then fulfilling, But it's also true because we're blessed to live on this side of God's most important promise being fulfilled. Yes, you and I live after the promise about one being set apart and sent down to earth for the salvation of humanity came true. Yes, indeed, we can not only see how Daniel's vision came true during the reign of four historic empires, but we can see about his words, or we can see how his words about a promised one coming to save his people indeed came true on a tree ruggedly crafted into a cross and outside of a newly hewn temple left joyfully empty. And because you and I know all of this, today when we hear these short verses from Daniel chapter 12, we need not doubt whether they will come true. Instead of doubting God's word, we can simply receive it with joy. We can know that no matter what's been going on with us today, or yesterday, or for the last several weeks, months, or years, we can know for certain that something grand is coming for us in the future. Michael and the angels will fight for us. We will be delivered. The dead in Christ shall rise to everlasting life. We will shine, body and soul, with all the glory of God. Yes, the words we read from Daniel today are sure for us. They are as sure as the words given to Daniel about those kings and their empires. They are as sure as the words spoken of the Savior to come. Those words are as sure as anything. So write it down in ink. It will happen. Look forward to those things in your heart and allow that hope to transform your life. For when God speaks, it's as good as gold. You need not doubt for a second. You need only write it down in ink and then rejoice. Amen.